Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 27th day of December, year 2020. And again, I'm working from a remote location, so I would ask that you bear with us on any little technicalities, etc., as we go through the call today. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel, and the agenda for today's call is, it is now or never. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Borada, Cumriambith. Callers are welcome, but we do ask that you keep your comments and your questions as short as possible so others can participate. Also, if there are more than two of us on the call, please be careful not to walk on top of other people who are calling. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is automatically muted until such time as they indicate they wish to speak. On a phone, that's using star 6. On a computer, it's clicking on the ask question button. And for the first time, I am testing out the co-host feature on Free Conference Call. And I have Adam and Henry listed as co-hosts, which means they have the power to drop somebody from the call to mute and unmute. And I'm doing that in an attempt to free up my, especially since I'm on the road with only one screen to look at. I don't have the opportunity to keep an eye on trolls or even monitor too many of the questions coming across the chat. That will be their function to keep an eye on that, and if it's something I need to see, either unmute themselves and tell me about it or send me a text or whatever. So again, trying some new things again on the road, so it's hit and miss, and so far the technical difficulties have been sorted out. That's why we're broadcasting today from my platform rather than Adam's. Praise Yahweh, I tried something a little different last night and it actually worked. So, hallelujah for that. So, it is now or never. I had a verse here I wanted to read for us out of Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Praise Yahweh, my soul, all that is within me. Praise His holy name. Praise Yahweh, my soul, and do not forget all His benefits. Especially at this time, because we're in a precarious position. I hope everybody understands that. There's so much stuff going on. I've got a whole list here to go over. But again, we're trying some different things today, and with the hopes, of course, that it makes for a better experience for everybody that's on the call live. And of course, we're recording it for folks to listen as an archive. Some folks don't have enough bandwidth to listen live. And for computer geeks out there, you know what I'm talking about with that. If your internet connection is not fast enough, if it can't handle the signal that's required for video or audio, it's almost impossible to listen to any type of program live. And some of our folks are in remote locations where they're still on almost like dial-up speed internet connections, which are very, very slow. So again, we're attempting some new things here today, so bear with us as we go through the learning curve and attempt to make all this work. So again, why I named it Now or Never is because of the information that's coming into my desk frequently, almost on an hourly basis at this point, about the fact that we are at a tipping point, or as we called it on a couple shows, we have crossed the Rubicon, okay? Now, some people Some people get this confused because Julius Caesar, when he led the Roman legions across the Rubicon River, that was an act of treason for a Roman general to lead his troops over the Rubicon, because that was putting him back on Roman soil with a legion, which also indicated that he intended to overthrow the government that existed and establish a new government, or to establish himself as emperor. That's not the point. Not the point. The Rubicon reference is simply saying that you've reached a point where there's no going back. Crossing the Rubicon is a euphemism for basically saying, I have committed myself to whatever venture or action I am taking. Whereas Julius Caesar said, the die is cast. Okay, for those that roll dice, you know once you let go of that dice, it's cast. You can't do anything to pull it back. The biblical reference is to an arrow and a bow. Once you release the line on your bow, that arrow cannot be retrieved. Once you cross the Rubicon, you cannot change your mind. And as believers, and as a nation, the white nations of the world must rise up and cross the Rubicon in the sense that we are to resist evil with all our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls. And we have evil in all of our governments. That's obvious. Every white nation is ruled by people who have sold their soul to the devil. They are miscreants, cretins, diabolical, imbeciles, incompetent, immoral, and they have completely forgotten their purpose in life, which was to be our public servants to protect our rights. We have no rights to these miscreants. And so that's why they behave the way they do. They don't give a damn about a constitution, a bill of rights, or even any other legislation, even when it's passed by them. If it benefits us, they just plain ignore it. For instance, these mandates being put out by these traitors at the local level and state level. Mandates are not law. If they were honest, they would make that clear to the public, that if they issue an order or a mandate, that is not law. If they were honest, they would tell the state police and local police that you have no authorization to enforce a mandate. It's like an executive order. Executive orders only apply to the people that the executive is in charge of. That's federal, at the federal level, isn't it? When he makes an executive order, that only applies to people that work for him, which is other federal bureaucrats. It's not you and me. If he writes an executive order that says all white men need to be castrated, would that be lawful? You think they'd have a right to implement that? Because it's an executive order? That'd be ludicrous. Of course not. Well, mask wearing and all this other garbage that's going on is no different. But they're not honest. We don't hardly have an honest person in government at any level at this point. So it is now or never. Between now and January 6th, the American people, and I would dare say people across this earth, are going to have to make up their mind. Do you wish to be ruled over by tyrants and creatures who worship a false god called Lucifer, Satan, the devil, whatever term you want to use for evil and wicked entities? Or do you wish to be ruled over by the living God, who has mercy, who has truth, justice, and prosperity in mind for the inhabitants of the world? But you have to make up your mind. There is no turning back. It is this point in history that every soul must make up their mind who they will worship. As in the book of Joshua, when he talked about, as far as me and my house, we will serve Yahweh, the eternal one, the self-existent one, the all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all-powerful. Christ said that he was wondering if there would be faith upon the earth when he returned. And we've talked about this before. And the sad fact is, as you look around the world today, most white people have almost no faith whatsoever. They have faith in their electronic toilets. They have faith in their tyrants within government. They have faith in a completely corrupt, immoral pharmaceutical industry, including the medical mafia that's in bed with them. They worship those things because worship means things that you revere. Worship means things you give credibility to and obedience to. Those are all forms of worship. What did Christ say about those who worship the beast and receive his mark? Okay? I was contacted by relatives recently that are petrified that they're going to lose their jobs very soon due to the fact that they will not accept this vaccine. What they call a vaccine, it's not a vaccine. It is a noxious, toxic serum that will change who you are at the DNA level. You will literally become a GMO, genetically modified organism. And a lot of people say, well, what would be the purpose of that? Because once you're a GMO, you're no longer the creation of the Father. You are the creation of the state, the beast, the government. And they technically, in their minds anyway, they technically at that point then can literally own you by putting a patent on you, as they claim that they own the patents for pharmaceutical drugs. You have to remember, pharmaceutical drugs were created to get around Yahweh's natural laws and natural medicine. Okay? For instance, aspirin. Aspirin is based on the bark of the white willow plant, the white willow tree. Okay? You could take the bark off of a white willow tree and just chew it yourself and get the effects of deadening the pain, and there's other benefits as well. So what do? They go in and they alter the chemistry of the white willow bark and call it aspirin so that they can patent it and make money off of it. You see, you cannot patent something that grows in nature. This is why they're at war with the naturopathic world and the allopath or the holistic health people. Okay, again, as scripture told us, evil is the love of money. All evil. All the wicked deeds, everything we see going on around us can be traced back to a common element, which is the love of money, the love of material goods, the love of careers. In other words, things not made of the Father, but things that were created by man, like corporations, careers, pension funds, houses, boats, cars. A lot of people say, well, I'm not an idol worshiper. Yeah, you are. If you care more about your job or what the neighbors think or about your cars, your toys, your possessions more than you care about the Creator above, then you are an idol worshiper. I'm sorry, but that's just the facts. You might as well deal with it. Because you're going to have to deal with it pretty soon. We have reached the end of this earth age. I think everybody now is beginning to see that. If any indication is from the calls I get from friends, relatives, people who listen to this show, people that have their own shows that contact me almost on a daily basis, everybody is beginning to realize that something is terribly wrong. And we're at the end. It's not something to be imagined. It's not something to pretend is going to happen in 40, 50, or 100 years from now. Now, it's good news for Yahweh's children. It's not bad news. It's good news for the redeemed, for those who are overcomers. It's only bad news for the unbelieving, for the reprobates, for the apostates, for the criminals, and the deviants that walk this earth. Bad news for them. It's coming to an end. And yeah, in man's ways of looking at things, it appears that the wicked have risen very high and there's nothing that believers can do, which is exactly what Christ told us. That the great shakenings in the heavens and the earth, that's what he was talking about, in the Greek language anyway. So in human terms, you look around and you think, there's no hope. Who can war with the beast, as the scriptures say? The average person, that's what I hear all the time. Who can war with this beast? They've got trillions of electronic shekels. They've got boats and tanks and airplanes and bombs and nuclear this and armies and soldiers and policemen, blah, 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 blah. It's all they talk about. Not once do they talk about the King of Kings. Not once do they give any credence or credibility to the Almighty. Not once. It's all about the things you see with your eyes and can sense here on earth, whereas you leave out the Father. We truly are in the period of Malachi chapter 4, which we've read numerous times on the program. This is the time just before the great and terrible day of Yahweh is about to be unleashed on this earth. Because if you and I are fed up with what we see, can you imagine what a holy and righteous king sitting upon his throne is thinking about what man has done to this earth? If it enrages us, can you imagine what it does to him, the creator? And yes, he is called Father. For all the feminists out there that don't like that, that's too bad. So again, between now and the 4th, 5th, and 6th of January, I would expect to hear and see almost anything. I've been contacted by quite a few people. There are patriots planning on being in Washington, D.C. for that weekend, 4th, 5th, and 6th. So something big is going to come down that day. What exactly it is, I'm not sure. Other than it's going to be big. The Patriots are going there, I think, because they look at it as a opportunity to show our complete disapproval of what these monsters in government positions are doing, and these appointed morons in these political positions. Unelected bureaucrats who try to dictate our every facet of our life. So they're going there to show their disapproval, but I think they're also going there to support, if there are any white hats, at this point it's hard to tell if we actually have any, but if there are any white hats in the military, they're going there to support them with the anticipation that this is going to be the time when the government will be shut down. Now, whether it happens or not remains to be seen, but are the preliminary steps in place for that to happen? The answer to that, of course, is yes, they are. There has been quite a revelation of how deep the treason goes, even recently to the fact Bill Barr is a traitor. Mike Meadows, the chief of staff at the White House, is a traitor. John Roberts is a traitor. Mike Pence is a traitor. So treason abounds at all levels. The Republican Party is no different than the Democratic Party. They just do it more subtly and use a little softer rhetoric, but they're communists. So this would be the perfect opportunity with the education of the average American, at least the Americans that count. And I further define that set of Americans by saying it's white men with guns that matter. You say, well, Dan, why do you say such a thing? I said, well, I was in Washington, D.C. in 2009 for the gigantic rally for the Tea Party. Taxed enough already? T-E-A, taxed enough already? Tea Party. A little bit like the Boston Tea Party. There were 2 million of us in Washington, D.C. that day, back in the fall of 2009. In other major cities across America, there were another 7 million predominantly white people in the streets. Remember back then in 2009, they said it was a racist event. Of course they would say that because it was white people that took their own time and their own money, 9 million of us, on a single day to show our disapproval. So that's why I say it's white people with guns that matter. If it's white people that don't want to fight for their freedom and fight for their nation, then do they matter? Of course not. If it's non-white people who didn't bother showing up in 2009, and not really a whole lot of them showed up this year for any of the rallies, more than 2009, but still not a significant number. Now, do they matter as far as people and the rights under our King, Yahweh? Well, of course. Every human on the face of the earth has rights. We don't have the authority to take God-given rights from anybody. But the point I'm trying to make is 2009 and all the years since have proven it's the Adamic people, the people that Yahweh put here to administer his law upon the earth, are the ones who seem to care. And it's no different than right now. When you see the Second Amendment rallies going on, for people that have actually been at the rallies that I've talked to, just like 2009, it is predominantly the white men, the Adamic man, the sons of Yahweh, that show up. And for this final period of time and the taking down of the beast, it will be the sons of Yahweh once again, but the sons of Yahweh who are righteous in their behavior, righteous in their motivations, righteous in their conduct. When we were known as Israelites, when we were on the march, when our men behaved as righteous sons of the living God, we were invincible. And so shall we be again. However, we cannot allow unrighteousness to walk amongst us, certainly not on a field of battle. And we are in a fourth dimensional war, fourth generation war right now. It's going hot. It's in the process of becoming a hot war, but up to now it's been an ideological war, a war of words and propaganda. By the enemy mostly, but even by our side. it's about ready to get very dicey, and it's about ready to become a hot war, because the communists will not go away. The communists will never compromise. The communists will never give up. They've proven that since they came into existence from the mind of the Jew Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin, Trotsky and Stalin and the rest of the Jews, from which the whole concept of communism emanated. So it was Jewish brains, Jewish motivation, and Jewish money that created communism and foisted it upon the earth. Excuse me. And it is white people, deceived by the propaganda of the media, who have supported communism rather than fought it ever since. We've talked about that. World War I and World War II, the armies that resisted the communist takeover of the world were destroyed by the Allies. The Allies turned out to be nothing more than lapdogs of the Zionist Jews. And we cheered them as great heroes. I lost family in both of those wars. My grandfather on my father's side was a Marine in World War II. Like I've said, I got a cousin buried in France at the Battle of the Bulge, 18 years old. So we've lost family blood over these Jewish wars to keep the white man suppressed and to elevate the Jew through communism, to elevate the bankers through communism. Communism is an invention of the banking institution to maintain power. So if they can't control you through being in debt to them, they will control you with their tyranny under a communist system. Ask the Chinese how it is under the Communist Party there. Ask the Russian people who in their recent memory can tell you what the Bolsheviks were like that controlled Russia for 50 years. They murdered at will. They raped at will. They tortured at will. They starved to death at will. That's what's coming to the world. If we fail to realize it is now or never in this struggle against world communism. And white people need to understand something. We don't have to agree on everything, okay? And I like to think that the people that listen to this program are some of the best of the white race. Not because of me, but because they seem to migrate to this platform and they interact with each other, and I'm honored to be part of that interaction. So I get to hear the opinions of the best of our people. That doesn't mean that they're perfect people. It does not mean that they're the smartest, the bravest, the strongest. That's not what we're talking about. Again, righteousness. Our Heavenly Father said righteousness leads to our salvation. Righteousness. He didn't say the strongest of us would save us. He didn't say the perfect man or woman out there is going to save us. He said our righteousness. What is righteousness? Starts with faith in the Father above all things. Faith in the Father. And his law. You cannot separate Yahweh from his law, folks. You can't do it. You can't say, I love the Father, the Creator, and then disobey his law. You can't do it. That would be like my children on this earth saying, we love you, Dad, and then turn around and disobey every rule of the house that I establish. You can't have it both ways. You can't love me and then disobey me. That's what the Father told us. When he walked this earth as Messiah, he told us, if you love me, obey my commandments. Do you remember that verse in the New Parchment? What we call the New Testament? It's all one history, one people, especially if you throw the books of the Apocrypha in there, which should be in our Bibles. Okay, one people, one history, one objective, as Yeshua said when he, in the book of Matthew, I came here but for the lost sheep of the house of Jacob, Israel. Now, people can argue with that and go, well, why would God pick out a peculiar people? Well, that's his business. But Scripture makes it quite clear that we are his peculiar people. And history, or shall we say historicity, which is actual or authentic history versus the man-made garbage that is taught in our schools and our universities. All of it lies, by the way. And hallelujah that there are people waking up to the fact that we have been lied to. Lied to by virtually every institution out there. You name it, we've been lied to. Now, real quick here, I'd like to remind my co-host that I'm not watching the chat, all right? It's distraction for me, so if there's something going on in the chat, I need to be aware of. If Adam or Henry would mind putting it in an email to my Proton Mail account and send it there, or you have my phone, send me a text, and then I'll check the chat out. The chat's mostly for you folks because this is a time of gathering together, much like the feasts were, a time for us to fellowship, enjoy good food, conversation, seeing each other's faces, talking and walking amongst each other. There's power there. I just read an interesting article on the power of a hug. Believe it or not, especially a hug that lasts more than 15 seconds. There's power in that. It creates trust. It creates a bond. So that when you don't do that, you're missing that part of our relationship. Our Father created that. Why do you think the Antichrist wants you to wear a muzzle? Because it's a form of submission. It identifies you as a slave. It also prevents you from seeing the facial expressions of your brothers and sisters. Because we pick up energy from that. It also helps you determine whether somebody's lying to you or not. The eyes can reveal some, but it's the eyes in conjunction with facial expressions that tell a lot. So the lying antichrists want to hide behind masks. Do you see the diabolical nature of all this? The 6-foot distance thing is to stop us from human interaction and bonding and hugging and sharing emotion with each other. That's why the sons and daughters of the Most High, as far as I know, we've ignored every one of these mandates. I haven't complied with a single one yet, and I don't plan on it. If I see somebody I know and like, I'm going to hug them. Okay? And that goes for men. The men of my family hug each other. I can't tell you how many times I've met brothers, especially brothers from another mother that I call my closest friends. And I give them a hug and they'll go, wow, that doesn't bother you? And I go, what do you mean? Well, you know, most men don't hug. Really? All the men of my family do, from the time I was a little boy. The elders, my uncles, my grandfathers, we all hugged each other, men included. We're family. What do you mean you don't hug? It's not queer. It's not homosexual for men to show brotherly love for one another. That's bullshit. Absolute 100% bullshit. In fact, it's very masculine for men to show that they care about each other. We are brothers. We are Adamic brothers. We're part of a family. How dare anybody say that we don't show affection for one another? The fact that we don't have affection for one another is why we're in the state we're in. We've allowed the Antichrist to tell us that two Jewish queers on television means that we should accept homosexuality, which is an aberration of nature, which is an aberration of our Father's law, and yet two masculine men hugging is denigrated as if it's feminine. You see the irony there, the dichotomy, the hypocrisy? So when we learn to care about each other, men and women alike, and remember that we're a family on this earth, then we have become a very powerful force. This is why the enemy is putting all these things into play, because this isn't about a so-called virus or a disease or a pathogen. Anybody with a brain that functions at all should be able to see through that. And like I said, they're going to want to push this whole poisonous serum injected into your body, and some of my relatives are going to lose their jobs very soon, especially those in the healthcare field, because they're already at the local level trying to push everybody into it, even though the writings in the different mandates and paperwork, even that coming from the CDC, do not require it. But here again, it's what's perceived has more power today than what's actually said. I saw it in the power industry when I worked there as an engineer and a procedure writer. People in the power industry will do what they're told, even when it's wrong. Now, you have to remember, in the power industry, especially nuclear power, we were told that we were in the upper 2% of middle-class working Americans. Upper 2% as far as IQ and salary. In other words, we were told that. Lord knows if it's true. But we were told that. And I have to admit that it did take quite a bit of technical expertise to figure out and to understand how all that equipment works. You couldn't be just a Johnny come lately and understand it all. It's very diverse and very intricate at times, and it can be dangerous at times. So it was fun to think anyway that we were at the top, but what was amazing was, let's say it's true, we're the top 2 to 3% of the middle class workers. What was amazing was how sheepish that group was, at least at this time. Not when I came into the industry back in the 1970s. It was quite different. But now, engineers, secretaries, project managers, vice presidents, plant managers, they're all little slaves doing whatever comes out of the corporate headquarters, whether it makes any sense, whether it's practical, or even whether it is legal or harmful to people. In the power industry, they're constantly advocating safety of the public, while at the same time ignoring the safety of the workers in the plants. A lot of people say, well, Dan, that's pretty strong. Yeah, but I was there for decades. I personally was told to do things that were unsafe and sometimes even illegal. In my case, I pushed back and told them that I would not do it. But I know there were people that did do it, because they didn't want to get in trouble. They didn't want to not get their next promotion. They did not want to lose their job. They did not want to lose the paycheck. They did not want to be called a nonconformist. I saw it there. So can you imagine what the rest of society is like if your top 2 to 3% of your middle class and engineering profession behave that way? Can you imagine what happens in the boardrooms of other companies, other corporations? And you take a look around at our country and all the white countries of this world, and that's exactly how they behave. The white man has acquiesced his rightful position. He has become an idol worshiper. The Antichrist has no power over us people, other than what you give it to him. None. When the things of this world no longer hold sway or power over you and your judgment, they lose their power. They lose it. I wonder how many people know that. We got to check a few things here quick. Okay. So once again, we have to face the fact that this is where we're at, folks. And I'm giving you my personal opinion based on a lot of information that has come across my desk within the last week. Lots and lots of information. So keep your eyes on the events leading up to the 6th of January, which is going to be a pivotal day, one way or the other. I'm not predicting exactly what's going to happen, but it's going to be pivotal. What happened in Nashville is still being talked about. Some people say it was a directed energy weapon. People are saying it was a missile. I don't know. All I know, it was done on purpose and that we're not being told the truth. That particular part of Nashville is the AT&T's headquarters. Supposedly AT&T got the contract to do forensic research on the voting machines from Georgia. It's also, I believe, very close to the location of the NSA at that area. This could be part of the internal war between elements of our government, because we have a war going on between them, just as in the Catholic Church. A lot of people don't know it, but the Catholic Church is at war with each other. Those that think the Pope is a good guy on one side, and those that know this Pope is the Antichrist. He is a monster. But then again, that shows you too which Catholics can think for themselves and which Catholics are just Catholics because of habit. Just like Americans, how many are really Americans and patriots and those that are just going through the motions? Or as our founding fathers called them, sunshine patriots. As long as the weather's nice and it doesn't cost me anything and I won't get hurt, I'll be a patriot. A real patriot doesn't give a damn about any of that stuff. So this is where the rubber meets the road, and Yahweh will sort between those who are overcomers and written in the book of life and those who are not. Just as the information coming out is showing us who the true American patriot is versus these rhinos and crypto Jew communists that walk amongst us and their lapdogs. Most people I talk to realize that war is coming, whether we like it or not, and they're making preparations, even some of my closest friends and family, very recently, have said that they're going by the things I've told them for years, and now finally they realize they have to get off their ass and do something. I hope the message that should be clear to everybody right now that I'm trying to convey is, if you haven't reached out to our Father Yahweh at this point, shame on you, because you don't have a chance, folks. You don't have a chance. I've known that for a very long time. My only salvation on this earth will come from my Father in heaven. Period. There will be no other source of salvation. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get a donation or a gift or a handout from a brother or a sister from here or there, or even a family member. That's not what we're talking about. Those are actually acts of kindness, which are part of who we are. My point I'm trying to make is that I don't trust any arm of flesh organization or man-made device for my salvation, both in the world to come and in this world. I pray to the Father daily with the idea that all the good things in my life are a consequence of my relationship with Him and He with me. I don't trust anything else. Every text, email, phone call that I get, I bounce the information given to me off of what the Holy Spirit tells me. And my own research, of course. So at this time, with so much confusion, so many liars, so much deception, surely a thinking person would go, maybe I need to really consider that whole idea of prayer. Maybe I'd better think again about that loving the Father. And wisdom comes with the acknowledgement that Yahweh exists, according to the book of Proverbs. Maybe I'd better give that a second thought, since we're crossing the Rubicon as a people on this earth. Maybe I'd better think about that entity in this world that is our highest calling, truest friend, greatest general, and will be our Savior, as Isaiah 33, verse 22 states. And as we learned in Malachi chapter 4, you all need to be really thinking about who is the anointed one that He's going to send you to get your attention for the latter days. Because, if you think about it, if we are at the end of the age, which it sure as hell looks like it, if we're about to enter into that phase when He unleashes fire upon this earth, which it sure looks like it, then it means He has sent you a messenger. Remember the verse that we read last week about He doesn't do a thing until He warns His people by His prophets. Malachi 4 tells us that there's a prophet in the likes of Elijah. Whether it's literal or figurative, does it matter? He will be as Elijah. He will speak like Elijah to you to turn the fathers to their children and to the men to each other, the Adamic man to each other. And of course, He will take all of us and preach Father to them to bring us back together as a family. Things to think about, folks, what the word anointed means. Messiah means anointed. Christos or Christ means anointed. Anointed by the Father Himself, not a man-made institution. To all my patriot brothers and sisters out there, this is a time for what I put on my notes is KYPD, keep your powder dry. That, of course, is referring to the Revolutionary War in the 1700s when all men carried black powder rifles. And one of the biggest problems with a black powder rifle, because they had to load each round by hand, there were no cartridges like you have today, where they stay nice and dry and everything within the metal cartridge. Back then, you had to load the powder, put the patch and ball in with each shot. And the black powder, if it got wet, would not ignite. If it got wet, you were basically defenseless as far as ammunition goes. So the term keep your powder dry was a term that meant stay on your guard. Keep your defenses in good repair. Keep your ammunition and your weapons at the ready. So keep your powder dry, men, and lock and load. It is time to lock and load. Again, referring back to musket rifles that fired with black powder, to lock them and load them. This is also a time we all need to be thinking about getting back to basics, because if you've got too much material stuff, then that's a basically like a ball and chain around your neck. So, and it's also very difficult to be on the move should you have to move. So it would not be a bad time to start discarding things in your life that you don't need. And trust me, I carried a lot of excess crap in my years of traveling as a contractor. I know what it's like to try to haul all that stuff from point A to point B. It becomes a burden, actually. And I've reached that point in my life where I'm becoming a minimalist, and I'm actually enjoying it. As I'm shedding off many of these things I thought I needed, I'm finding out I really didn't need them. They were traps by the New World Order and by the merchants of the world through their propaganda. You see, that's what television commercials are all about, is to create the illusion that you need what they're selling you. At some point, we're going to realize we don't need these merchants and these bankers and these communists. We don't need any of the things the New World Order is offering us. They just want you to believe you need them. You actually don't. And as you shed your attachment to the things of this world, you begin to realize also that you have the ability to do without. You have the ability to make do with things that are laying around you, repurposing it, so to speak. And there's lots of ways to prevent having to go to their stores and buying more of their garbage. The scripture says there's a day coming when the merchants will weep and wail because nobody will buy their merchandise anymore. When the white man wakes up and he will lead the rest of the world into this, and we realize we don't need Babylon's baubles to be happy, to exist as free men and women upon the land. Something to think about, getting back to basics. Again, talking about crossing the Rubicon, as the Roman legions crossed that river, each and every one of them knew what they were doing. And from the moment they crossed over that river, it was really not that big of a river, probably what we'd call a stream today. When they crossed over it, they knew damn well that if they failed in their endeavor, they would be executed. So when people talk about crossing the Rubicon today, it's another way of saying you will either conquer or die trying. I believe every patriot today understands the concept. The communists are making their final move to subdue this world and to enslave this world. We, the sons and daughters of the Most High, and those who assist us, the Bible calls it those who bless Abraham, those people of other races who will assist the white man in shutting down this tyrannical, diabolical system. we will either conquer this evil or die trying. Or as the Spartans used to say, you will come back from the war carrying your shield or being carried on it. You come back either victorious or dead. There is no other option. As my dad told me shortly before his passing, there are worse things than dying, Danny. We'd already lost our mom, and Dad was in pretty bad shape. And when he told me that, I pondered on that quite a bit. There are worse things than dying. Now, the world wants us to think that dying is the absolute worst thing. But that's because the Antichrist has no hereafter. This world is all that the Antichrist, these Bolshevik Jews, have. You can ask any rabbi if you have the guts to do it, and they'll tell you they don't preach a hereafter. This world, they want it to be a hell just like their father, because this is all they get. And so living under God's law is torture to Satan's kids, just as living under Satan's rules is torture to us. Choose this day which you're going to live under, because the two cannot exist together. Now, if you want a little smidgen of what it's like to live under a communist Bolshevik Jew system, just go read Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. While you're at it, read his other book, 200 Years Among Us. 200 years of Jewish influence and Jewish presence in the Russian Empire and what they did. Those two volumes will explain a lot. There's other works as well, and if anybody contacts me, I'll be glad to let you know, and maybe even send you a copy. But there have been many people write about what these monsters have done to innocent men, women, and children. Even the made-up story of the Holocaust pales in comparison to what these Bolsheviks have done. And yet the world constantly wants you to focus on this completely concocted Holocaust lie. But even if it were true, and it's not, but even if it were, it pales to insignificance compared to what these Bolsheviks have done. The militia is on standby. We now know that we have treason abounding in our lands. It is becoming quite apparent who is really who at this time, whether it's by design or by our Father's hand. Does it matter? And we're finding out that, as the Bible told us, so it is true, the beast system is made up of the governments, the corporations, the bankers, and the Bolsheviks. And yes, Zionist Jews are behind it all, exactly as Obadiah, Ezekiel, and Malachi told us. It's now or never, folks. I hope you understand that. Let me check and see if I got any notes from anybody here real quick. Also, the phone lines will be open now. If anybody has something they wish to report or a question, now would be a good time to do that. Let me check the chat room here real quick. My software is running a little bit slow. All right, I don't see anything there. So if I miss something, though, one of my moderators, if you would, either call in and discuss it with me now or email it to me. But I really do think that the I'm looking at some messages here. People need to take it very, very seriously about where we're at, where we're headed, especially as we come up to this January 6th landmark period of time. So I don't know how else to put it. I mean, really, up till now, I thought we were pretty clear. 21 years on the radio, beating the drums, trying to get people to wake up. I'm not sure what else you can say to people. If they don't get it by now, it sure would seem like they're not going to get it. So it looks to me like, Adam, you're the only co-host at the moment, so apparently we lost Henry. Maybe he's got a bad connection. Adam, if you want to unmute for just a second so we can chat for...
Hey, Dan.
Hey, okay. Did you happen to pick up anything that I missed?
Not really. It's pretty... No real questions came through. I'm still just kind of figuring out how to navigate the screens here. But, yeah, Henry was dialed in both on his phone and on the computer.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if he's still on here.
All righty.
Yeah, it looks like he's gone.
With the information I put out there, does that all jive with what you're hearing or not?
Oh, as far as preparedness and being ready for anything?
Well, also the fact that there's no turning back at this point.
Well, yeah, as you may recall, I had a little bit of an exciting day at my home yesterday. That's ringing very, very true for me right where I sit today. In fact, if ever I'm on this call, I have to keep peering my left ear out in case I'm not hearing something, because I'm real close to the road, and the events that happened yesterday could be right behind me pretty quick. So yeah, it feels very true as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Yeah, I think we got Henry back here. I didn't recognize a little different name, but Henry, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, I'm actually on my wife's laptop. I was having so many problems with mine. But yeah, I just wanted to interject one small point. I think these idiotic lockdowns, I think the more that they go on, I think more people with any degree of common sense at all are going to begin, waking up. And I also think that it's going to kind of lace into this, whatever comes about with this election fraud in the next, as you said, going up through like January 6th, I think the world, the rest of the Western world is watching is what we're going to do about our own country. And if the Patriots do rise up, and I think there's going to be a big reaction, I really do, whether or not the white hats are with us or not, I don't know. But I think the countries in Europe are also going to react violently, and I think the powers that be know that their time is, time of control is short, and so they're going to stop pulling out, probably going to stop pulling out some severe measures. So I think the conflict is on, and I think it's going to spread worldwide, actually.
Yeah.
And I hope it does.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's one of the things, I'm glad you brought it up, that I was going to point out, that whether the white hats actually exist or not, whether Trump's a good guy or not, really is inconsequential. It's up to what we talked about. What are the atomic white men with guns going to do? The whole world is waiting for that group of people to learn how to work together, stop fighting each other, and realize the seriousness of where we're at, pick our leaders, pick our commanders, and get ready for this battle. That group is the one that matters. None of the other groups matter, including the military and the white hats. I'm sorry. As much as I respect the good ones, they may or may not be on our side. They may do whatever they're told, just like the corporate world. You know, a commander comes in and tells them to take out white people. They may do it. We don't know.
Yeah, anything's up. Anything's possible. I really hope that Flynn... I really think that Flynn is a good guy, and I just have a lot of trouble trusting that Trump is going to do the right thing versus, you know, try to save his own skin at this point. I think that's his that's what he's probably debating in his own mind right now, what's good for his family versus what's good for the country. I hope that's not the case. I hope he realizes he's at a point in history where he can... He could literally become a mega hero if he does the right thing. But we can't count on that, obviously. So, you know, he seems to be surrounded by such cretins in that White House. Yeah, when I heard that account of, I think it was last weekend, I think it was last weekend when Powell and a couple of the others, Flynn, were in the White House meeting with him. And then the way that they were blocking access to Trump from Powell, and I think even Flynn too, it just amazes me how for 4 years he hasn't had the common sense to hire decent people and surround himself with, you know, people with integrity. That's the thing that just is almost it is inexcusable. It really is.
It is up to a point. Let me just kind of play devil's advocate here. I know for a long time now we've bashed the Q boards and the Q people as being hopium. We've bashed the idea that this is all a military intervention and was planned for that from get-go. But let's stop and think about this just for a minute. This is just a what-if thing. If you were part of a military group of patriotic generals, admirals, etc., and you wanted to wake up as many of our people as possible before making a move to literally eliminate the swamp.
Yep.
Okay? If you think about it, what has been done was perfect.
Yeah.
Now here's why.
Yeah.
If he had put good people in there, our people would have went back to sleep.
Correct. You're right. Okay? Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's a fact. Our people would have gone back to sleep. By putting these people in there, it has allowed them to hang themselves, so to speak, by documenting acts of treason. Just as we've said, John Roberts has proven to be a traitor. Kavanaugh really isn't much better. This Amy Coney Barrett, not much better. The Supreme Court in general is useless. The court system's useless. Most of the people surrounding Trump are traitors, including Pence. Barr, traitor, the Pentagon, the upper brass of the Pentagon for the most part, until recently anyway, traitors.
Right.
So,
right.
If you think about it.
Yeah, you're right.
If there were good military guys planning for this, in a way, even though we didn't see it that way, it does kind of make sense because... As I look around, based on family, close friends, veterans, former police officers that I know, citizen soldiers, militiamen, what's happening right at this time is exactly what they were talking about.
Right.
There needs to be an awakening, and the people need to understand why military intervention is demanded at this time.
Yeah, that absolutely does make sense, and especially using the election, because almost everybody, you know, pays attention to the election. So, yeah.
And everybody that matters knows it was stolen.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there is no doubt in anybody's mind that when people say the communists are trying to take down our country, and that the mainstream media is in bed with the communists, that the bankers are in bed with the communists, that the corporations are in bed with the communists, there's hardly anybody I know that disputes that anymore.
Even liberals. I've even talked to a couple of, you know, quasi-liberals, and they even acknowledge that the election was stolen. So,
right.
Not that they're even upset about it, but the fact of the matter is the exposure is there.
Well, my brother told me just the other day that 30% of the Democrats don't like what they're seeing going on.
There you go.
Even within the Democratic Party, which is unfortunately 100% communist, there's a 30% rebellion going in there. We got Randy on the line from Michigan. Randy, welcome to the program.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
It's easy. Think about this. If you would have had a segment of the government get on TV, say, not knowing any of the stuff that we really know for the last year or two that's been going on, if it's just some people from the government showed up on TV and says, hey, we've uncovered this mass corruption in government, and we're rounding them all up, I think our nation would have went into complete panic mode. So I think over the last few years, mainly, I think it's been going on before that, but for the last few years, it's become so evident, especially with COVID-19. I think part of this whole plan was for it to kind of play out, because unfortunately we live in a society where people actually have to see this go down. And so over the last couple of years, and then kind of speeding up mainly to COVID-19, all these people that have literally been destroying our country, mainly in these Democratic controlled areas, literally they've been front and center on camera. It's all been recorded. And there's no denying what they have done has been complete fraud against the people, corruption. They have literally destroyed their own states, and it's all been captured on video.
Oh yeah,
I believe that they literally, because they already knew the plan was to destroy this country. So, but to actually get the evidence, these governors kind of fell for it. And they were all dumb enough, because these people are stupid. They have been on camera. All these major Democratic governors and whatnot have literally, from the whole time this beginning of COVID-19, they've been front and center on video. It's all recorded. Their treasonous plot to destroy our country.
Yeah. If it plays out the way. You know, you just suggested, Dan, it is an ingenious plan.
Yes.
Yeah, I might be wrong, but I'm just making an observation, because, you know, I'm one of them guys that I followed the Q post for a while, so I know quite a few of the early predictions. I sort of got really pissed when they tried to tell me Alan Dershowitz was a good guy. Obviously, he's not. Jeff Sessions was doing a good job. I don't think so. So when things like that came out, I sort of just blew them off, okay? Maybe I shouldn't have, but I did. But a lot of the posts, and we were told that these posts, future would prove past, we assumed that those posts meant that something was going to happen along that lines right away. Well, if you go back to 2018 and 19 and read the posts again, at this point anyway, it's as if they knew some of this garbage, including this fake pandemic, was being planned and that it would play into their efforts to expose the treason worldwide, not just here in the United States. This goes around the world. So if that were the case, if you go back and look at those posts and fast forward to where we are today, they make more sense.
Mm.
So I'm just saying, what if? Again, we as the sons and daughters of the Most High, what we do on a day-to-day basis makes no difference whether Q's right or wrong. Really doesn't.
Right.
But to the people just waking up, and trust me, I've got a lot of family and friends in that category. They are some within the last week. Okay, right up until the last week, they understood things, but they weren't going to make changes in their life. They weren't going to go out and buy certain preps. They kind of understood. It's almost like, I can see it, but they didn't make any changes. Remember what the scripture says, that the conversion or the person that actually comes to a saving knowledge of the Christ, there is a change in their life. If there is no change, there was no conversion. You cannot convert and have Christ in your life and not have an effect. It just can't happen. So, same thing with a patriot. A patriot can say all along that they're patriotic, they understand what's... But if it doesn't change their day-to-day routine, if it doesn't change what they're buying at the store, they're not really getting it. Well, within the last week, many of the people I personally know, all of a sudden now, they're talking about losing their jobs because they know they're not going to get the vaccine. And it's going to cost them their jobs. And some of them have very good paying jobs. They're going to lose them. They're talking about buying property. They're talking about selling things. They're going out and getting prep materials. They didn't do that before. So, you know, what I'm saying is that maybe whatever, if this is Yahweh's plan, Q, or a combination of Q and the Father, I don't know. But is it getting the results that we would have expected? You have to answer, yeah, it is. Because think about this for just a second. Just within the sphere of people I personally know, all of a sudden they're talking about homeschooling. All of a sudden, they're leaving the mainstream churches. All of a sudden, they're turning their televisions off. All of a sudden, when they do turn them on, they don't go to any of the mainstream channels. They don't trust their government at any level. They want good food. They're starting to wake up to the fact that the foods are poison to us. They're waking up to the propagandists. And the biggest question of all they're waking up to is the Jewish one.
Amen.
So I say hallelujah.
Absolutely.
But once again, like we've said, regardless of Trump, who he really is or not, because Nebuchadnezzar certainly was not an Israelite, and yet Yahweh used him. Pharaoh was, if he was an Israelite, he certainly was an apostate one. He used Pharaoh. So whether or not they're in our camp, what I'm saying is it looks to me like Father's will is being played out regardless.
You know, Ralph has a comment in the chat box about that. It says, I think Trump will do the right thing if Yahweh makes him, just like Pharaoh was forced to let our people go after a time.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Exactly. I don't personally care for his personality. I don't personally care about things he's done in the past that I'm aware of. But that doesn't, I don't know his heart. That's why Yahweh told us not to tear up the tares, because we can't look upon a man's heart. I can't see Trump, what he's like behind closed doors. I don't know anybody that does. So it does not matter. What matters is our Father's plan, and is our Father's plan playing out? And as I'm looking at the book of Revelation and Ezekiel and Obadiah and all that, it sure as hell looks to me like the plan is coming about regardless of all this nonsense that's gone on.
You know, it's funny, too, is it sometimes to me seems like these people in positions of power, I consider them puppets on a stage for the most part.
They are.
And it sometimes seems like their sole purpose is to play both sides, good and evil, or something like that.
They do.
That we choose. It's like that's their purpose is to make us choose a side, you know, or sharpen each other. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at, is it's just like when the Israelites were in Egypt. They were tested. He put them through the desert for, what, 40 years? Okay, he was testing them. Which ones were going to make it through and still be overcomers and whatnot, and who were just the ones going along with the show for the wrong reasons? So, in a way, this is all testing us right now. For instance, the people I know that are true believers, they don't put diapers on their face. So they're not getting sick. They're not getting us upper respiratory problems like the diaper wearers. Okay? They're not going to go down there and get a poison put into their arms. Well, the unbelievers are.
Right. Yeah.
So up till now, anyway, Yahweh has protected his children that are taking a stand, because they're going to maintain their good health. We could literally watch Psalm 91 come to pass. We'll see thousands falling all around us, and Yahweh's children are still going to be standing.
Yeah. Taking the vaccine.
Think about it. How many of our military people are being put in a bad spot because a lot of them know that's a poison, and yet they're going to be told they have to do it, just like my niece is being told if she wants to keep her good job in the medical field, she's going to have to take it, even though it's not mandated, even though there's no practical reason for it. She knows that they're going to push it, and she'll lose that job. That's her test.
Yep. Life
That's
is
her
a test.
Yep. So everybody's being tested. The point of it is, if you got faith in the Father and you stick to your guns, in the long run, we're going to come through this thing. We just have to have faith in that. Whereas the people without faith, they're going to succumb because of their fears.
Right.
Yep. And the reality is not why they're covering their face, because they're ashamed of what they've done. They've supported these places like Planned Parenthood, who's butchered literally how many babies and sold their body parts. I mean, everything these people stand for is demonic. It's of their father, the devil. Everything, the gay marriage, the abortion, everything that these people stand for is contrary to our Bibles. Everything.
Right.
Yeah, and an awful lot of people.
These are literal demons on earth.
Yep.
And unfortunately, you know what? They dished out their propaganda, and so many people fell for it. That's on them. It's time to repent. Because just like in the Garden of Eden, it was all about lies and deception. And that's exactly what these political parties have done with abortion, for example. They say, oh, it's a woman's right to choose. No, it's murder. And the whole gay marriage, what are they saying? Oh, it's just people loving it. No, more lies, more deception, propaganda. That's all these people are.
Right.
Liars and deceivers. And it all began in the Garden of Eden, and has been going on ever since. Just like the income tax, you'll never actually read an actual law that says you got to pay it, but they put the fear into people. If you don't pay, you're going to jail. Where's the law that says you got to pay it? They'll never show it to you.
Right. Yeah,
they lied to us about so many things.
Oh, they lied to us about almost everything, but that's because we got away with it because we no longer checked anything out. We no longer questioned authority. We didn't learn how to say no and why. Right. We just went along.
Yep.
And then even worse, we made fun of the people that had enough courage to do that, to stand up and say, why? What are you doing it for?
Yep. No, anybody that's been involved in this movement long enough, if you've done things, you've been laughed and ridiculed by people that didn't. They weren't brave enough to do what you were doing. They were, in reality, they were jealous. So what did they do? They made fun of us. That's not funny anymore, is it?
Well, no. Now it's, like I said, the wake-up just within the last week has astounded me. And I think as we get closer to the 6th of January, the wake-up is even going to go exponentially higher. I have full confidence in the Father's plan. I don't know why, but for some reason, I thought it would be scarier than this, but it's actually working out to be the opposite. I'm finding that I have more and more confidence the more I see that Father's plan is at work, and it's going to work out exactly as he said.
It does seem like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what else is pretty cool? Is the fact, again, the people that come to this platform, that interact with me and you and all the other listeners, have formed a nexus of information. Almost, I like to kid around about a command center, but by God, it's almost like it is a command center. Where we take in information and testimonies and reports, and we share it together like a team is supposed to do, and we love each other as brothers, and we look out for each other, and we disseminate the information to anybody that asks. Anybody that asks. If they want the truth, we give it to them. We don't withhold it from anybody. We don't ask them, are you a believer or not? We don't say, what's your race? If you're seeking the truth, we're going to give it to you.
You know, that's the thing I noticed about Dan's emails. You know, I've known Dan for a long time now. When he sends out the emails, it's not. You know, Dan's not just taking all this information and, you know, erasing whoever the original, you know, creator of the information was and trying to clap his name to it. He's not afraid to share other people's information, because in reality, this isn't about any one of us. This is about our country and our people. We're not, you know, you got all these corporations, people in politics. For those people, it's all about screwing people so they can make their next $1 million. We just care about the truth. We don't care where it's coming from.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I tried, ever since I was a boy, I tried to live by the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And in regards to what Randy just said, I always took offense when somebody stole my ideas, or if they stole something I'd come up with. Not saying I come up with that much, but when I did, if somebody took it and then didn't give credit for it, it used to really irritate me. So that's the reason why when I share information, I don't ever try to steal somebody else's thunder. If they thought of something that I didn't think of, hallelujah. I like to just think that I have enough sense to say, whoa, this guy's got a better idea. Or this lady found out something that I hadn't really thought about. Again, teamwork. And because I do that, I can't tell you how much information flows in. You guys only get a piece of it. I get tons of things given to me because that's the way I am. They know I don't tell tales. I don't gossip. I don't steal other people's material. And because of that, people share things with me they might not share with anybody else. And that puts me in a position to learn things that other people might not learn, and then I can share it with our whole family, which is what I consider all the listeners to the show. They're part of the family. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. You know what's interesting about the data sharing note, because there are those who would criticize, you know, if you're putting out a lot of articles or videos, there's definitely going to be some questionable stuff no matter who you are. You know, content creators get it wrong, and no matter their intentions, you got to be aware of that, and you got to pick out what's worth hanging on to. And I think the point I'm trying to make is that might be a part of the, call it vetting process, or that's how we come to know each other, is to see how each other deal with the just the array of data coming at them. If you pick up the value in the message and not necessarily cast it off because it has an error or two, then that shows us, I think, that we're in good company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eat the meat and spit out the bones, right, Dan?
That's it. Eat the meat and spit out the bones. Yep, exactly. Or as Thessalonians puts it, as accept all things and keep that which is good. That's just a different way of saying basically the same thing.
Yep. Right. You know, like I've tried to do for years. I mean, we can tell people about the Second Amendment and stuff like that all day long, but what I'd like to try to do, and, you know, anybody that's, you know, got, if you watch what I put on Facebook a lot of time and other social media stuff, we know there's people out there that want to advocate against our certain rights. So, I mean, I scour the internet all the time looking for them video clips, people like Beto and Dianne Feinstein and Obama and other people talking about, you know, how they want to come against our rights. You take them little video clips, man, you regurgitate them out there and actually show people who the enemy of our people and our country really are, because these people are in a lot of cases, they will put it out there. Dianne Feinstein, all these people have put out there about their desire to take away our right to keep and bear arms. And we're going to be a constant reminder to this enemy that you're not getting away with this. We're going to keep showing people all the stuff about what you're really trying to do, because we know it's really not about just limiting certain firearm accessories. They do those things, but their ultimate goal, what they would like to do, is just straight out deny us all of our rights. That's their ultimate goal. But it's kind of like the old saying with the frog and the pot of water. You just want to slowly turn up that heat, because if they do it too fast, the frog jumps out. Well, that's exactly what they've tried to do to our people in our country, is over a slow period of time, they just keep chiseling away at our rights. It's game over, folks. We're done with these people.
Yeah. Well, you know, for the first time ever, I'm getting notifications from people that are, how should we say this, some of the best journalists, diggers, researchers. They're not emotionally imbalanced. They're very rational people, very reserved in some of the things they say and put out. And yet, recently, I've gotten indications from them that it's time to take the gloves off. These people need to be taken down.
And even if, as some people suggested, that they might just turn off the internet. Even if they did that, you know how many of us, we have our hard drives that are not accessible to any internet, you know, connection at all. We've got all these videos of all these traitors on our hard drive. They can shut the YouTube down and all this other stuff. We still got all their videos.
You know that what that would do is it would be like opening the floodgates for people like in my position, because I would pretty quickly go door to door, and the people I got a good feeling about and felt like they were my people, I could trust them, I would be exposing them to my hard drives, and I have plenty as well.
Yeah.
So that would that wouldn't work out
it.
To their benefit, because it would
right.
There would be a grassroots swelling on the local level, as I see it.
Sure.
Plus, they've already done the job of identifying our enemies for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who was front and center of the whole impeachment against Trump? Adam Schiff, the Jew himself. His day's coming.
Yeah. All right, guys.
They're all. I mean, hey. Luckily, we actually know who these people are, but it's just a matter of time before everybody really wakes up to that part of it.
Yeah. I don't know.
A matter of time. I mean, there's a lot of attention on Adam. You know, people like Adam Schiff. There's a lot of attention on him right now.
There were several reports that he was arrested at LAX the other night.
Well, he put shame on my name. I'm disappointed in him.
Shame on your name? What do you mean?
His name's Adam.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I was thinking, Schiff. I mean, wait a minute.
No. Well, we'll see if it's true. But if it's true, he was arrested at the LAX airport in California. So
that's right by me.
Let's just say this. People like Adam Schiff, all these people, we know who they are.
They thought
all their little communicating back and forth of their whole plot and plan to destroy us and our country, they all thought that was all safe and secure. Everything they did, all their communication, it's all been captured. It's all coming out.
Well, the one thing good about evil people is they're, a lot of times they're not the sharpest tool in the shed.
They are absolutely stupid. They've all been caught.
They're arrogant.
They are.
To a fault. Our fathers, through the prophets, told us their hubris and their vanity would be their undoing. And so it does look like that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
Let me...
Another big thing, anybody, and this has been going on since Trump has been in there, it's all public information. Just go pull up the executive orders. It's on the whitehouse.gov website, and go look at all that stuff that's on there. Everything about foreign interference, sex trafficking, it's all on there, folks. A lot of people have been paying attention, but if you really want to know, go look at those executive orders. It's all public.
Yeah, that's true.
Their property is going to be taken away from them. It's all in the executive orders.
Well, if they follow through, they have put it in the paperwork to allow those things to happen. So we'll see.
To loop this back around to what you guys were talking about earlier, and I know you're trying to maybe close out, that is probably, hopefully, part of the strategy, which is to allow these cretins enough rope to hang themselves and to allow them to get drunk on power. So I just wanted to tie that back
in.
Oh, they've been drunk on power for way too long.
Right.
If you think about it, 4 years ago or even 2 years ago, when it looked like the Second Amendment guys were rising up and everything looked like it was time to take them down, when none of that came through, that just further empowered them. That just further made them think that they were bulletproof, which caused their hubris and their vanity to even go into hyperdrive. And again, looking back now, where we sit today, if that was a plan, that was a perfect plan because they actually fell right into the trap.
Yeah.
Because they became very vocal about what they were going to do to you and me.
On video.
Yep. On video, even, yes. They were very vocal since that point.
These people are stupid, man. We all know it, but they're stupid. I mean, how many times did Governor Whitmer and all of our traitorous Democratic governors, they so willingly got on the video camera telling us their plan?
Yeah.
And look around, folks. Does it look like people are flopping over dead? No. And they've literally destroyed their own states. Now, here's going to be the fun part. When all these, we'll call them sheep, when they finally wake up and realize that their lives have literally been destroyed by these lying politicians, we know what happens next. People like Governor Whitmer, all these traitors, they're not going to be able to be walking around these streets very safely, are they? Because they're going to have a whole lot of people looking for them. And I'll just leave it at that.
Right.
It's a beautiful image. Just to let you know, Ralph, hi to you, Henry. He wanted me to pass that along.
Oh. Hey, bud.
And we know that anger doesn't just get shifted towards government either. We know that there's a time when that anger also shifts to these lying preachers.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I think there's going to be a Chi-Com element in this too. If it all works out the way I'd like it, I'd like to see the White Hats take care of the Chi-Coms that are trying to invade us from the borders. And maybe the Patriots can take care of all the treasonous preachers and politicians and BLM and Antifa. That would be nice.
Yeah. I don't remember how many preachers back many years ago this became public information. How many of these, and it probably explains why a lot of these churches so willingly closed down, because a lot of these preachers became part of the FEMA clergy team. The clergy response team. Look that up. Sure did.
Right.
They became arms of this tyrannical government.
Oh, yeah. It's all being exposed.
Sure is. Right on time.
Yep. Amen to that. All right,
great
guys.
Time to be alive.
Yeah, let's get final comments and then wrap this one up.
Okay, Huffstock. I'm just going to say it's a great time to be alive. Amen.
Amen to that. Yeah, thanks, Henry. Randall?
Well, brothers and sisters, here we are. I think this is all playing out just as planned. Continue to prepare, because, hey, we don't put all our eggs in one basket. So prepare your families. Never hurts to prepare.
Yeah, amen to that. Yep. Thanks a lot, Randy, for calling in. Yahweh bless. Keep up the good work, bud.
Yep, praise Yahweh. Death to the New World Order.
Yeah, praise Yahweh. Adam?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just getting a lot of positive feelings about this group and these calls in general. So I think that's a good sign, and I'll just believe that it is. And praise Yahweh. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Yeah. Praise Yahweh. Thanks for co-hosting there, Adam, and keeping an eye on the chat and all that for me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, Adam and Henry and Randy joining us there. Trying times, but as the guys were saying, this is an exciting time to be alive and not to be forlorn. He told us that when we saw this kind of mayhem and chaos, know that your redemption is near. And he also reminded us that I'm telling you about this chaos and this insanity so that you are not overcome by it. Okay? We're the overcomers, not them. So we keep coming together as a family, as a team. We look out for each other. We feed each other. We lift each other up in prayer. As we do that, let's also remember all those who are suffering from illnesses or persecution. Also, we pray the soldiers' ransom, that Yahweh would cover all of our military, whether it's militia, sheriffs, police officers, uniformed military, anybody with a righteous heart. They are part of Yahweh's army. They are part of our family, and we ask him to watch over all of those with good intentions and righteous intentions, and that they have a protective covering around them, and they have guardian angels that walk with them. And in the meantime, we're just going to do what we have to do and keep an eye on the 6th of January and continue with these reports. If it's necessary, we'll start having more broadcasts during the week. Because if we feel the need to get this information out as that imperative, that's certainly something we may consider doing. And again, I thank Adam and Henry for co-hosting. That's made my job a hell of a lot easier. I think I'm going to continue to do that in the future. Make at least one co-host on every show so that it makes my job a little bit easier. And yeah, I'm being selfish. Sometimes this gets a little overwhelming trying to do everything by myself. So, Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for the opportunities to share with our brothers and sisters, for the technology that allows us to do that. Not everything that's technological is evil. It's just evil men use it for evil purposes. It's a tool in the hands of the righteous right now to reach out and discover who our brothers and sisters are and to lift them up and to find out what's going on in this world, to share truths and knowledge with each other, to share wisdom about the herbs and the foods that heal our bodies, the truth about technology, which is the good and which are the bad, and who are the righteous upon this earth and who are the wicked ones. Your plan, Father, Logos in the Greek language, your plan is coming to fruition. We can feel it in our bones. We are fast approaching that time, Father. You told us that we would be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We may actually be the generation that does not taste death. That is a distinct possibility. You also told us that you would warn us and give us direction through your prophets. We ask a blessing upon all those who have been given the gift of prophecy and speaking to the people in your behalf. We pray for your coming to be very, very soon with the heavenly hosts, the armies of heaven, and that the Ezekiel 37 army will rise up out of these dead and dry spiritual bones, that a righteous army would arise on this earth and subdue the wicked and destroy them, that neither root nor branch remain. We ask and pray all these things in the name of Yahweh our Father. Hallelujah.